Welcome to It's All Chaos, a podcast about two best friends who are navigating the ups and downs of working full-time,
running their own businesses,
blending families,
and taking on Nana duties.
Duties?
Not that kind of duty.
Oh. Learn about the things we are involving ourselves in,
and the challenging day-to-day events that just prove that every day, all day, it's all chaos.
Welcome to episode 35 of the It's All Chaos podcast. I'm Jill.
I'm Tracy.
And I'm Alex.
And today we're jumping right back into our book club, chapter 10 with
right
Janelle.
Right where we left off.
Right where we left
dun,
off.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. We actually, this is behind the scenes info. We actually cut the previous podcast in two because we ended up podcasting for 2 hours. So we're just going to jump right in. Well, let's see how we can pummel through. I mean, we're at an hour, but I feel like, again, we're going to repeat a lot of stuff. I know on the first page of Janelle, I didn't highlight anything.
I did. I highlighted. Okay, so we were heading into chapter 10 with Janelle, and I highlighted on the first page, the beauty of living in a polygamous family is that we truly get to embody the principle of it takes a village to raise a child. But I'm going to say right now, when Robin came in, she did not allow anybody from the village in.
She did not get into the village.
She wanted to be the nosy Nelly of the village.
But not and let anyone have any information.
Nobody could have any input into hers. Correct.
Yep.
But again, this is where we're talking about Logan jumping on the couches again, and some of them didn't want him doing that or playing in the pots and pans. And she was a permissive mother and allowed him to climb and crawl as he pleased. Logan.
Go. I'm telling you, those boys are crazy.
I always loved Logan. Always thought he was such a kind
character. I'm going to use this term. I was going to say he straightened up so fast. Not that there was a problem with him being a little bit of a wild child, but he ends up being pretty responsible and pretty well.
Yeah, he's a really, I think he's depicted of, and I don't think it's just because like he gets a good edit or whatever. I think he truly is a really good big brother.
Yeah, I agree. So Janelle talks about the sister wives realizing that kids need to be kids. That as more kids came in, they realized, you can't just all have, Logan with three moms was a little excessive.
We don't have stepford
children
here.
Three people telling you that. So, but she did say that, this is what Jill mentioned earlier, when children visit another mother in that mother's house, they are aware of the different rules. Again, Mary's house, they know not to rough house to the same degree that they can elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
The children have learned to respect each mother and act appropriately in her respective household. Oh, how kind of them.
Yeah. Janelle said this is where when the transgressions, as they got older, and the transgressions require more of a scolding, this is where they left it to the individual mother and Cody to handle. But they will alert the sister wives to what they have seen or observed and then let the dad and the mom of the child handle that. So again, we're seeing a lot of the repeating things. One of the areas that they said that they have the most differentiating on are things like rules about phones, curfews, television. And that's where there's a lot of variables based on the teenagers.
Sounds familiar.
Phones, television, curfew.
But here we go. There are at times a particularly contrary kid.
What?
And they get the full force of all the adults present.
What?
Ordering him or her to take his or her mother seriously.
Yeah.
When this happens, the child knows it's time to shape up.
That's right.
But she did say, compared to Cody and my sister wives, I'm a softie.
So when you get the intervention style sit down,
you know why?
That's
she's
when
the
you know they mean
because
the business.
Because she said from the beginning, all I wanted was to be a mom.
Right.
And I wanted somebody to be a good dad to the kids.
Yep.
That's all she wanted was to be this mom.
Right,
and so
right.
I see that she was going to be the softie.
Yep.
I mean, me too.
She just wants them to be happy. She wants to garden, give them cookies, give them love, let them jump on the couch.
And right here, Janelle says,
and do the dishes in the morning.
Right. Yes, she didn't mind that, yes. If not for my sister wives and husband, my children would have probably have run wild. They'd been free-range chickens.
They
feral.
Feral
children.
Like some of my friends' children that I have spoken
of. Feral children.
But she does say, Janelle's very kind in this part, and she says, I credit the way my children have turned out to the fact that Cody and my parenting decisions were backed up by Cody, Christine, and Mary, who also provided a structured environment for them and were not afraid to enforce things. So she's saying, they got to be a little harsher. I got to be the kind one. Yep. So that
and it all worked out.
That's right. When I did think it was super funny at the end, and it's just kind of out of context, but when she says it's a universal truth that someone else's food is always more interesting, because they were talking about the kids when they lived in the house together, they would all go and raid yep. each other's
fridge
or cupboards or whatever. Yep. And I think you kind of played to this. Mary said eventually they didn't want to raid hers because right. she was moving more towards healthier things and
like
more
grown-up stuff.
And she even said though things you had to make, like there was chicken and pork and
right.
and like lettuce for
it
salads.
It was just a grab and go
right
item.
There's a whole right. bunch of
so it looks like you have a lot right. on the next page, Joe, because I have nothing.
Woo! I have a lot.
So
all right, well I have, but it's comforting to know that our kids are always being supervised by a parent. Okay, so, and I would agree with that,
I mean,
too.
There's a lot of adults around.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Well, the younger girls always got really excited to have sleepovers at Robin's. Meanwhile, the older kids, we heard about this earlier, were having pool parties at Janelle's. Okay, so they liked that better for the older kids. But the younger kids were cool to be hanging out at Robin's. Okay, we didn't see much of that on the show.
Right.
And I'm glad we're hearing about it.
I didn't see it much except for like when it was like she was like kind of babysitting them. Not because they really wanted to be over there or she was like inviting them over to have sleep, but it was kind of like the other parents are doing this, so I'm watching you type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think...
At least how it's depicted.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Talking about how it was depicted, it right. always seemed like Robin was much more of a helicopter mom.
Right.
So I could see her not wanting her kids to go to somebody else's house.
So then
but
the
it's
kids
okay
would have...
if they come here.
Right, right, yeah. Totally, totally.
Yeah, like, yeah.
She's definitely more helicoptery.
So, and then during the school year, Christina, Robin's houses seem to be where most of the kids wanted to hang out because they are the easiest places for all the siblings to meet up with each other, as well as the other kids in the neighborhood. So they, I believe their houses were the two that were positioned the absolute closest together. So getting off the bus or whatever, and they had friends in the neighborhood, that was just the easiest place for them. Currently, Hunter gravitates towards Christine. She has her own way of talking to him, and it can be more helpful during this phase than I can for this. I am unbelievably grateful. We know that Hunter had a really hard time moving to Vegas.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, you know, obviously getting plugged in is what really helped him at school. But also, it sounds like Christine was somebody he could really lean on.
Yeah.
And then very, very last at the bottom of the page I have, Madison, Logan, and Hunter, I'm very blunt in discussing the perils of too much intimacy before they are mature enough to handle it. I never tire of telling them that unexpected babies and STDs could mess up their lives
if
they're
not careful.
I can see
Janelle doing this. And not in like some serious sit-down way, but coming by and go, these are the facts.
When you're going out, don't do that. Babies, yep. STDs,
right.
blah, blah, just kind of like...
Do you remember that movie, 10 Things I Hate About You?
Yes.
Before you go to the party, you're wearing the belly.
And
the
yes.
dad would make her put on
the
nine-month
pregnancy belly.
Pregnant.
Yes, because he was an OB, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's like, put that under your tank top.
Right, put that under your crop top, whatever. Yeah,
maybe it was crop top.
The way that it talks about her like having this conversation with them reminds me of like you talking to me about like, and don't do this, and don't end up dead in a ditch somewhere, and like, and don't do that, and if someone comes and they want to take your laptop, you just give them their laptop. Because we can buy a new laptop.
Never
we can't buy a new
location.
You. And never let them go. They always kill you at the second location.
And if you and if somebody's shooting you, you have to dodge and weave. And don't run in a straight line. Because it's harder to hit somebody.
Right. Like she would tell me ridiculous things. And then...
Tuck and roll.
And then I would be... And then I would always tell her. I was like, Mom, I was like, I'm just telling you that if I were to
the
ever...
The reason I started telling
if I were
her
to
all
ever
of this
end
is
up in danger. If I were to ever end up in danger, like in the movies or the TV shows I watch, and there's all these like... monumental like escape stories and survival stories, I was like, Mom, that would not be me.
And that's
I would
why
not
I
survive
having to create the tips.
I'm like, I wouldn't survive.
I would drill
Mom.
Them into her.
And so she's like, okay, so then this is what you're gonna do, because if you're not gonna survive, you just don't let them take you to the second location, that's where they kill you, and you don't let them do this because of whatever.
That's funny.
Because I just told her, I was like, Mom,
it
won't be
want,
me
whatever they want.
You just give it to them.
Your purse, throw it to the side. If they want your purse, you throw it to the one side, you run the other way.
It's like people who talk about the zombie apocalypse where they're like, I won't make it 5 days, so just throw me to the horde, save yourself, because I won't make it. I'm telling you right now. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm going to fight tooth and nail. I'm going to be the Rick and the Michonne. And
I just was like, it won't be me. I won't be the success story. I won't escape. They'll be dead. And she was like, no, this is okay. This is your life lessons.
I'm going to make it a few days.
These are your life lessons.
But so anyways, like you said, we kind of see some reoccurring themes. They're talking about modesty. They're talking about dating. And Janelle says, I have four other adults who will reinforce our vision of morality and help me make sure that my kids conduct themselves as safely as possible. So, and then she goes on about school functions. I wish I could attend more school functions than I'm able to, but we have to come up
Wouldn't with a like divide and conquer system. Wouldn't you like one other adult that would help you
right?
with the morality and the making sure the kids protect themselves safely as they're riding around on motorcycles and crap, and you're oh my gosh.
I didn't even tell you that
story. I'm just saying, these things right. that you're like, yes. I would like one other person to be on my side and want them to be safe.
At this point, I'd take half of an adult.
Half of an adult.
I take someone.
I'd take the right leg of an adult.
One leg.
I'd be on my side.
Can I please have your right arm?
Could you
so
just,
I could either give a thumbs up, a point, or a middle finger, or a thumbs down. Like, I just need a couple extra fingers. Somebody else to back up
gestures.
My fingers. Right?
I just need some gestures in this moment.
I will take a mime parent that, like, is doing the no. Or the so I'm not alone.
You can be mute. You just have to
right? just have to make gestures,
man.
Right,
which heads us right over into Christine's chapter.
Yep, did come up with the divide and conquer system. Yes, so that's good. Obviously, sometimes we have to do that, but we can finally be the family we always dreamed of being.
Right,
yay!
Fail.
Yay. Oh, the positive vibes they were putting out.
So Christine starts us off.
Yes.
With. As our kids grow up and mature, we can see the benefits of our many different perspectives, which have all contributed to how well-rounded and well-adjusted our children are. And I think they have a fantastic group of children.
Yeah.
As defective as the parents and their relationships are amongst each other. And I'm not saying individually they are defective. Some are, some are not.
But hold on.
But I think that their children
are
very nice humans overall, because I see them in social media and the way that they talked on the show and everything.
And the way that they interact with each other,
yes.
you know, nine and a half times
part.
Out of ten.
You know, I don't understand why. And you were an only child, so you don't have much to say about it.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of sibling
I had one brother who was younger than me, and we had our good days and our bad days. And right now we see each other about once a week at church on Sundays, and that seems to be enough. And we'll see each other on major holidays. And I don't know when or how that will ever change to any better. But, you know, I look at families like my husband is one of five and I was just, you know, pushed right into their fold with his great, but his sister will just message me out of the blue and be like, what are you guys doing on Saturday? You want to come over and play games or, you know, do you want to get together? And his parents, like I came back from Tennessee and his parents are calling me, how was your trip? We missed you. You never see us anymore. And I said, Casey's keeping me from you. He's a mean husband. That's not true, but I'm just so busy. But, you know, I mean, I see how all those pieces kind of work together. And that's what I see of the Browns, that no matter what, they had each other and they made this bond and they built this bond and they have all these memories. And that couldn't have happened without the parental situation happening as it did. And I am so glad that they all have each other and... The parents are kind of finding their own way too now.
And not having a sibling of my own in that sense, I am really grateful for the family I married into that my husband is so close to his family because he has siblings and we see them at church, but then we also normally get together now that his parents live back down here instead of an hour and a half away. We get together for family dinners every Sunday.
That's
when
great.
I'm on school break, I get together with my sister-in-law and her kids because she... is a nurse and works like super part-time and so we can like go and do things. And so I see that kind of stuff with like what I was able to marry into.
Yeah.
Which is
and it's
nice
for James and Max to have cousins.
Right.
That
oh,
are the
yeah,
same
for
age.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Anyway, so then we move
but
right
then
into
the couches.
We move right into couches. That's what I was gonna say.
All right. What is our next couch update?
None of them permit jumping on the furniture.
But
however,
Mary's couches will last her an entire lifetime. Janelle's were broken after a month.
Let's remind that she has all the boys, basically.
Hers, Christine's get really, really dirty, really, really fast. And
girls
Robin's will remain pristine for a long time because Robin taught her three children she had at that point the same kind of respect of things that Mary did.
I believe so too.
I think maybe this is why we're seeing
being...
the pairing up of Robin and Mary.
Well,
they
think,
have kind
and
of
especially
those
Robin with
together.
Being, you know, single mom. Yeah, post her husband and not a lot situation. Of money. Right. She was a single mom, didn't have a lot of money. So it's like, we can't go out and we can't replace these things. So we got to take care of the things that we have. We have to respect the things that we have. And I mean, honestly, Janelle, she had boys. They're just monkeys. They're monkeys.
Well, they're just crazy.
They're crazy monkeys.
They're dragons, slayers, you know.
They do all the things that are wild and rough. They rough house.
So that's where she does say, Christine does say that
there's Robin's also no eating in the living room.
Robin's in the hidden wrapper club.
Yep, just like Christine.
Even though her stuff is nice, there are hidden wrappers there.
Yeah.
You think it's Dayton?
What? I don't know. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to say. And I tell this to my stepkids all the time. What else did this come from? Oh, Tori and I just watched Waterboy for the first time.
Oh, I love Waterboy.
It's funny and she laughs so hard, right? But at one point, Coach Klein says, what mama don't know can't hurt her. And I try to tell my stepkids all the time, I understand your kids. I understand you're going to sneak stuff in your room. I understand you're going to eat on the couch when we're not here. I understand
those
things. Just
hide the evidence.
If you would just clean up after yourselves, I would have zero evidence. Right. I would have no
just
reason to
try
question.
Harder to hide your crime.
Right?
Don't leave your crime out
if you
with a big X on it.
Put
like,
your dishes
here it
in
is.
The dishwasher or whatever. I would know, right?
Right.
Jill doesn't know, can't hurt her. If your room is clean every day, I can't say, go clean your room.
Right.
Right? I mean, so anyways, and that's what the rappers too, right? Like,
yep.
You're going to find them, then someone's going to be guilty.
Yep.
Because right. We caught you rapper handed.
I'm going to blame my dogs. They're always putting things down the cracks of the sofa. Bones, little balls, whatever. All right. So I think it was interesting that at the bottom, kind of middle of this section, Christine says that they have reading time and time for games because she likes to do a lot of activities. Kind of.
I feel like
I'm gonna say more engaging.
She runs her life as like a teacher does like centers. Christine like does centers.
Right.
For like
she likes activities.
Like family centers.
Even
this is the game center, this is the art center, this is we're gonna and then in 15 minutes we'll rotate.
When she moved to TikTok and she was doing LuLaRoe and stuff, and she started doing cooking with Christine on TikTok.
Yeah.
And she
yeah.
I mean she just likes those
yeah,
kind of things.
She does.
But she said here
that's what it reminds
my
me of,
kids
though.
Are my favorite hobby.
Yeah.
That was her hobby.
Oh.
So, and I think that, you know, to a certain extent, they still are. And in the polygamy families, I think at some point, it kind of has to be that because you don't have the husband part of the unit all the time.
Right.
You're dividing that up. So, anyway, she says she does try to keep the tradition of Sunday, which is where they used to always go and to her mom's house on Sunday when they were back in Utah. But now she's trying to keep that tradition going for her kids now that they're in Las Vegas. But she said since the traffic is terrible, they often just keep it local rather than going somewhere far. And so one week she said they drove to the desert. Another, they all went bowling downtown. And of course, they still do things with the whole family. And I thought that was interesting. By the time they hit Vegas, were they done being kind of in the Mormon faith? They were still...
No, absolutely not.
Because
they were spending money on Sundays. They still had church like in their homes in the beginning of
I was just curious because when they went bowling, that's spending money on Sunday. So I didn't know where that's...
Oh,
that,
I don't.
That strict following of
you know,
of
honestly, I don't... I'm not really sure about that piece. I know that they still like considered themselves to be a part of that faith and they did do church in their homes. But I don't know to what extent they really followed all of those little tidbitty rules.
And maybe those little tidbitty rules weren't part of the polygamous sect.
Well,
no,
that's what
I
was going to
say.
Yeah. I don't think I heard anything on the fundamentalist side of things that said they couldn't, let's call it, spend money on Sundays. And I actually just went and spent some time with my friend in Nashville, and she is Seventh-day Adventist. And I don't know a whole lot about the Seventh-day Adventists except for the fact that they believe Saturday is Sunday. That's the easiest way for me to explain it. They do.
Yeah.
They have the Friday night,
Sabbath,
and the
Saturday.
Saturday is Saturday,
right?
Right? So that's kind of how they
yeah.
do it. So anyways, but she says, you know, I'm a little more loosey-goosey than my mom, where my mom won't even go eat at a restaurant on Sunday because you're making somebody else work. Even
right.
though
right.
it's not even about the spending of the money. It's the fact
it's
that
because
we were
somebody
supposed
else had
to work on
work.
That day and
right.
you made somebody work to serve you on that day. So, but I don't know that I ever heard of that.
I don't know about their group that they were involved in specifically, but I know in other things I've seen, like documentaries I've seen or books that I've read or whatever about the FLDS, that is still something that overall they practice similar to the mainstream Mormon church of that you're not supposed to spend money on Sundays and do whatever, because they're like even more strict to the old school rules and followings than like the mainstream Mormon church.
I don't know that in all of my experiences with the Mormon faith, and I know you participated in it at a time, but I don't know that I ever heard that. I always knew that Sundays was for family, and I thought everybody just stayed in because they were spending time with family, not that they couldn't spend money or
because they try not to work on Sunday.
They're supposed to keep it.
They're not supposed to be causing other people to work. Right. So that same type of thing. And then also, I even played soccer with some girls who weren't allowed to play in our soccer games on Sundays.
Yeah, so if they had a tournament on Sunday, they could only play
in the Saturday games.
I see that. So I understand that. But where are you on that you're reading this? I'm trying to find what I highlighted around the same spot.
Yeah,
where
does it
talk about the bowling? It's on the bottom of 192. We drove out to the desert, and another we went bowling downtown. And she's talking about doing this on Sundays because that was a tradition that they had that time with their
mom.
Was
to get together with the family.
So I read it differently because there's a period at the one place. We have family services followed by family dinner, which gives us some time to hang out together afterwards. I'm assuming that's church. New sentence. In the evenings, we usually play games, read, or watch movies, the normal stuff that all families do together. I'm assuming that's on her Monday evenings or on her Thursday evenings.
Sunday on the go back a page.
Well, that's yes, I understand says. They're yeah. talking about church and they're talking about their faith, but you're saying that they had services followed by family dinner. And if you're calling it dinner, I would assume that's later in the night. And then after dinner, they're going and having more activities?
I think it was earlier in the day. If you got to go back up. Back in Utah, we went to my mom's house every Sunday.
Yeah.
I've tried to keep that tradition of Sunday expedition now that we're in Vegas. But since the traffic here is terrible, we often keep it local. One week we drove out to the desert. Okay. Another, we all went bowling downtown.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
And of course we still do things.
But that's still weird because, again, this is Christine.
So that would be
talking
during
about
the day.
Her individually. Why are they leaving the rest of the family behind? I would assume Sunday they would want to be together as an entire family. I know Friday night they did
family dinner,
but I'm surprised that on... let's just say their Sabbath on the day that they have their
I think
religious
maybe
ceremonies.
It's during the daytime. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But we don't know when exactly they stopped getting together to do church too.
Yeah, and we don't know like all of their specific ins and outs of how they really feel about Sunday versus whatever.
We did see them, to my knowledge, and well as we rewatch we can tell, but we did see them have a church service in the new homes.
In one of the new homes.
Cul-de-sac.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Right. There's at least one that I can vividly see in my head right now.
Right.
And it was shortly after they moved to the cul-de-sac.
In that one, I remember Robin talking about purity. And then we get to the next page and it talks about what all the parents would do. And then they're like,
I think that's
Robin would give them a lecture on purity. I have something. Like that was always her
something right. above that. But I actually highlighted that whole section that you're talking about.
Me too. We'll get there. Yeah.
So this is where Christine talks about Isabel. So she's, you know, talks about how the kids are different, that like at how she parents and how she disciplines, and she does it differently for each one. But she's like, when Mikkel Aspen leaves the car messy, she has to clean and vacuum it. So she puts the punishments that fit whatever she feels
crime,
that they did. When McKelty wears a modest clothes, I take them away. Which is that really a punishment or just a corrective action of I'm taking it away? You know what I mean?
Well,
I feel like I just took it out of your hands. But when Gwendolyn picks on Isabel, she does Isabel's chores. Okay, that to me is a punishment. You pick on that person, you get to do their chores.
When Peyton gets bad grades, he doesn't get to play.
And when Isabel is a brat, she can't spend time with me. I thought that was the weirdest thing. And we just heard about how Isabel needed somebody to connect with and went to connect with Mary.
Yeah.
So you just cut her off?
Right.
It was just seemed
and
like
I,
a weird
and what
thing.
I also think is so interesting is as time goes on and as we see later, Isabel gets so much closer to her mom.
And Peyton, if he gets bad grades, he doesn't get Xbox.
So it's really interesting that it's like, well, she was a brat and so she couldn't spend time with me. But at some point, there's a shift in their relationship because they become super close.
Yeah.
Isabel and Christine.
But the thing
is
we don't know or why she used the term brat.
Right.
I mean, they were talking before about how... you know, sometimes Christine couldn't handle
her attitude or whatever. So let's say she's being sassy. In this place, she's just using the word brat to make it simple. Yeah. That's when she would send her over to Mary's.
Oh,
so
sure.
Basically, you can't spend time with me. I'm sending you to Mary's because you're beyond me right now. Now, right. She had a good time at Mary's and Mary was able right. to...
Is it because Isabel fine. Was the baby until Truly?
Is Isabel younger than Gwen?
I thought Gwen was...
Yeah, older. Yeah, Isabel's younger than Gwen. But I also think maybe, too, when she's saying, like, Isabel's a brat or whatever, like, if she's being sassy and whatever, maybe she's saying, like, if this is how you're going to behave and treat me, then you don't get to be with me
right. because I'm not going to be treated that way.
But it's kind of a funny phrasing for the mom to say.
All the different punishments of the people.
Right, yeah, no, I agree.
And basically, to me, I see... two punishments and a bunch of just takeaways that really aren't punishments. It's just
and then
making it easier right. for you or harder for you to make a wrong choice. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, but like with the clothing thing, right? Let's say they spent their own money on a shirt that was low cut and they weren't allowed to wear it. The second they take away, you're not only out the money, but you don't have the shirt to wear either. If you would have bought right. a shirt,
so
that
maybe
was
that's
more
how it becomes a punishment
yeah,
because they bought it
with punishment.
But yeah, that's what she says. Yeah. Aspen and McKelty, that's what she struggles with the
is
most.
How
is
they
want to wear
those
immodest necklines and indecent amount of skin. And I just
chuckled. Cleavage.
I chuckled and chuckled and chuckled because of her wedding dress.
Well, because now
we
she's
so
over
far
it.
Past it.
Now she's
so
over
come
it.
Come on, she's got
so
a titty tattoo.
It just so made me chuckle because she's like.
Again, we're rewatching those episodes, and I'm thinking of the scene where Mariah is talking to Cody about what she wants to do with her schooling and everything else, and she is wearing the white t-shirt underneath the red spaghetti strap.
Do you
top?
Yeah.
And I'm
but
like,
that wasn't just the church the girls FLDS at that time. That was literally
the style.
What it looked like. Yeah, that was the style.
But there was a time when the style was like, let's put on 72 tank tops and our Abercrombie sweatshirt that's too short, so you can see the three tank tops underneath it.
Right,
and it was like a thing. And then I mean that's true.
I mean, let's talk to most millennials. They have emotional support tank tops to this day.
This is true.
Emotional support tank tops.
Like you wear tank tops underneath
everything.
They
wear a tank top under a t-shirt. They wear tank tops under everything. Like it, literally, at any point they could take off their shirt and they've got another shirt.
I very recently have stopped always wearing a tank top underneath my t-shirts, but for the longest time I would always wear a tank top of some kind, and it would be one that has lace on top and lace on the bottom, so if it sticks out underneath my t-shirt it's like a little lace or whatever. But up until very recently, and so I have them in all colors.
Alex got rid of them. So Alex had emotional support tank tops.
Yeah, I said they're still in my drawer.
I never knew this was a thing. I'm going to ask Tori if she knows what emotional support tank tops are.
If you go on and look on TikTok, you
find... You'll find like, this is how we dressed in 09, and this is how we dressed in 05 or whatever. And then
people
like
will say, these are my emotional support tank tops.
Yeah, and they still wear them.
And they still wear them because they feel... It's kind of like...
I always
feeling like you didn't have your bra on because you're so used to that layer.
I felt like I felt more
understand.
Comfortable. And then like it would be also if I had
it's like over your grandpa's.
Or like I would have some shirts.
T-shirts.
Oh yeah, the white
like,
whatever.
I would have some like shirts that were maybe like meant to be kind of like a see-through sheer or whatever. That's how they were meant to be.
Right.
But it's like, but I don't want you to be able to like see through it for so you wear like a tank top that was my
well,
and
I
so it was like so then
like
it just
that.
Happened underneath all of like every shirt.
But like you're wearing a spirit jersey right now. I always wear something under my spirit jersey, and if I think the temperature is not gonna be challenging, I'm probably gonna put a tank top under it. So I have clothes or even sweatshirts. I never went to school with just a sweatshirt on. I always had some sort of a layer underneath.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
if in a class,
but it's like no, like a t-shirt.
Hot, but
like
yeah.
short sleeve t-shirt, tank top on underneath it. Always.
And if she was gonna wear a hoodie, she would have her
the
tank
top, my
t-shirt,
and then my hoodie.
And the hoodie.
But you were in Idaho.
It didn't matter for the summer.
It doesn't matter
when she moved here. And I'd ask her, are you not hot?
Yeah.
Why are you wearing two shirts? And she's like, oh, God. It's fine. Okay,
it's fine.
So the section that we all said we were reading here, it says, if my sister wives and I were to address this problem separately, this is the modesty problem of the clothing.
Yep.
This is how we would handle it. Mary wouldn't let the girls buy the shirt in the first place. Ding, ding, ding.
And I agree
Makes
with that
sense.
Because that means that you are involved in your children's lives and you're also vetting what they're buying.
And
you're
or when they're coming home with the bags, you're like,
no,
we're going to return that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Janelle wouldn't notice the low shirt unless it was unbelievably drastic. And I think also that is a valid point. Unless it is excessive.
Right.
Like, oh, your boobs about to pop out your shirt.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. She said, I'd tell them.
And specifically, Janelle had so many boys. She would tell them. She would be more oblivious to it, probably.
Right. But she'd also tell them it was inappropriate. If she saw it, Robin would give them a lecture on purity, and Mary would want them to express themselves while still remaining within the rules of the family. And Christine says, I just look at them grown, ask them to change their shirt or pull it up so it covers more skin. But half the time, if you pull it up, then it's showing your belly.
Yeah, right.
You can't win.
Right.
And she says, recently she started hiding the girls' shirts with the low necklines, but they keep finding new ones. So, I don't know. I feel like obviously that is not putting the foot down on what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
So the next page we're talking again about dating standards and purity standards, and we haven't talked a whole heck of a lot about it, but I really didn't highlight much on this page because I feel like again Christine is basically saying that she is more practical about making the decision. She takes all of the kids on an individual basis, where the family has a flat 16 dating rule. She'll take it on a case-by-case basis.
She says that if it's a group of kids going out, then that's okay.
It's different than a one-on-one.
I'm going to say quote-unquote date, but it's not really a date because you're not interested in that person romantically, but you're friends and you're going to go to a movie together, but it's somebody of the opposite sex. That was allowed on a case-by-case basis. But the minute there was feelers involved, then you couldn't anymore.
Like they were catching the feelings.
Right, and they make them hand over their phone and read through their text messages to make sure there was no feelings.
I tried to do that to my daughter today just to see, because I had read this chapter today. We were sitting at the allergist, and I was like, can I have your phone? Unlock it for me.
Why?
Because I just wanted to verify that I'm a good mom, and I'm looking to see to make sure you're not doing naughty things. Don't you trust me? She wouldn't do it. She wouldn't give me your phone. I said, I pay for that phone. You don't need to look. You can trust me.
Well, you're kinder than I am because I would.
I was going to pick a fight at a doctor's office, though.
There were things handed over to me that I looked through. And I had friends that were watching the social media because they were
I remember you talking about that.
They were on the different things, and they would alert me. They'd be like, Tracy, this has showed up on Alex's.
Oh, yeah, that was a picture thing. That wasn't something that was, somewhere private where it was,
a I'm just saying thing. That if I had asked for the phone, if I had thought there was a problem and I had asked for the phone and it didn't get handed over, we would
I didn't think there but was a when problem, Alex though, had a I was phone, just looking to see what her reaction was.
I'm just
was
saying, and, with Alex in high school, there literally was...
It was texting.
Phone call and a text.
Yeah, that was all you could do.
Those were the only options.
Right. That's all you could do.
Nowadays, there are apps, there are photos, there are more things to worry about. And if I had a kid these days, do you think I'd absolutely be
stupid? For the beginning, first 2.5 years of having a phone, I didn't even have texting. Mom literally shut texting off.
Because
it cost money for text. And even if you just received it and you didn't actually send anything back, you got charged for receiving it. So texts were shut off.
5 cents to receive and ten cents to receive,
25 cents if it was a picture.
I don't know.
So she was just like, no, you can't receive it anymore. So it was shut off. So literally I could only make phone calls.
Yeah.
Which was fine. And now I hate talking on the phone. I used to talk on the phone constantly.
Oh, that's I never. I didn't friends, even add when texting became like you could get an unlimited texting plan. I did get it eventually for Alex. I didn't add it for me because it was when you had to do the QWERTY. Keyboard, you had to A was click, and then it was click, 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 click to this letter. And I was like, this is dumb. It will take me forever to just send, hi, how are you?
Yep. It didn't take that long. T9 was where it was at, baby. T9. But then.
I don't even know what that means.
But then when she added, when she added the texting to the plan, she was like, oh yeah, so I added texting to the plan. I'm all excited. I go to text my boyfriend, text my friends, and it still isn't working. She goes, oh, haha, I forgot to tell them to turn it back on your phone. So then I still didn't have texting for another day, which was not a big deal, but it was just so funny because I was so excited.
And then she just laughed.
And then she was like, oh, haha, it's still shut off on your phone.
Because hers had been eliminated because I got the big bill. Yeah. Right? I got the big text.
And she was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I did nothing. And she was like, oh, well. I was like, I did nothing. I sent nothing.
Yep, I have to laugh. My first phone plan, I got 75 minutes a month. Look out.
Oh, and then calls were free after 8.
Talk about for emergencies. Or 9. Free.
It was like unlimited minutes after 8 or 9 or something.
On yeah, because at that point we did have like...
It was like a family plan of so many minutes and then free after 8.
And Alex used the majority of our...
minutes.
Well, I had a boyfriend, so...
Because we had a home phone
But then we started talking on the whole... You're like, if it's not after 8 o'clock, you need to talk on the home phone. Okay.
Kids these days be like, what's a home phone?
Hey, we had one until just a few years ago.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah.
Because she's crazy.
Well, so, I had to get it when we had the business. At least I was told I had to, so I followed that rule. And right. Then everybody else was like, we didn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, so well. I'm on the next page, and they're kind of talking about, again, some rules that they have social for the media. Kids. Yep, talking about social media and all that. So then... Christine says, I asked the kids not to go on blogs about the show because some people have no conscience online and say whatever they feel. We all know that.
Right.
And sometimes it really hurt our kids. Sure. Once a lady was Wreckin' on Robin. Is that like Wreck-It Ralph? Wreckin' on Robin.
Yeah.
And Aspen came to her defense saying, she is one of my moms and I love her and you don't know her. You think you know all of us from watching us an hour a week. And you judge us with your small amount of knowledge.
Yeah, good for
you. And I think, you know, here's the thing. And I think that's fair. If somebody said something and the kid came back, where the problem is when the public then comes back and attacks at the child, knowing that they're sticking up for their parent.
Don't attack children.
The public needs to not come back at them. Yeah. You put it out there.
Guess what?
Your opinion, one of the kids attacked you, shut it down.
Well, yeah. And the thing is that the public, it's like, there's no redeeming quality in you to attack a child. I don't care if you agree.
For defending their parent.
Or, yeah. But even if it was for something else, there's no reason for some stranger to be attacking a child. There's no redeeming quality in that. You're disgusting. Don't do it. Like, just leave the kid
alone. Like the guy in the airplane that wanted to fight with James.
Right. Just because he was kicking his chair on it. Like, it's just
kept bumping it,
Does it make you feel, like, Casey powerful because there's a 3-year-old?
The guy was
going
to get in my face, and then Casey stood up behind me. And then the guy.
But it's like, you like, does it make you feel cool because you're like fighting with a 10-year-old
or whatever?
Like,
grumble, grumble.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so annoyed.
Yeah.
I said, you're fighting with a 3-year-old.
Yeah. No, people are stupid. Well, not all people.
But on a positive note, Christine thinks most of the kids hung out at her house because a baby truly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it had been a while since they'd had a baby, so I think everybody was loving and doing
that. And she said that she was
a
funny baby.
Again, this is another thing that makes me so sad. Just like it made me so sad for Mary, this is what makes me so sad for Truly. Truly finally got Solomon and Ari, kids that were closer to her and her age, that she loved and adored and wanted to be with, and they made them stay so separated.
Because we see in the beginning.
Again, heartbreaking.
Well, because we also see in the beginning, like, Truly and Solomon are, like, little best buds.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
To watch them be, like, through glass, like, ah.
Right, and, like, not understand why they couldn't
hug. Because
at
least Sol and Ari had each other.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Right.
So
Truly
I just think it was crappity.
So again, this is from Christine. All I have from her is towards the end of the next page, looking into the future, I would like to move back into a house with a sister wife.
Lies.
I miss the communal aspect of our plural lifestyle.
Yep, bold face lies.
Recently Janelle and I have been looking at houses together. We are a good team. She is practical.
So she wanted communal with Janelle. Now, I can see that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Right. As I read more, that's what I said. I was like, okay, she wanted the Lehigh
and
house
says,
again.
And she says, she can take care of the finance administration and bills.
Mary. Yep.
And I will do the cooking, cleaning, and crafts.
Basically, Christine's like, forget the rest of you. I want to be married to Janelle.
Yeah. Right. I mean, at this point, she ain't even worried about where Cody's sleeping.
Earlier on that page before what you had brought up, she says, I'm a little stricter when it comes to organized family activities at my house rather than casual hanging out, which
because
we can kind of see. She
activities.
Wants the centers.
She does centers. She really does. Yeah. That's how I feel like she does her free time with our children. Okay, and in 15 minutes, we're going to rotate centers.
And she said that, you know, on the other hand, Mary and Robin both seem to want their own space and prefer to have their own houses. And again, I think they could have made that work.
Yeah, I agree.
They just didn't want to live with the others.
Like, instead of the super giant house, maybe do two houses, like a duplexy type house, and then two other separate houses, or it could be like whatever. The
hotel rooms with connecting doors.
Right, like an adjoining duplex.
Which is kind of what Leah was, but like, yeah, exactly.
An adjoining duplex for Janelle and Christine.
Yeah,
and then but it's even single homes for the other two on the land.
Here they are. When they're writing this, were they already in the Vegas houses?
Yes. It talks about how they're in Vegas.
Okay.
No, not in the cul-de-sac houses. Yep, no, they're in the rentals. They're talking about
this. Why did they not rent together? Well, to test this theory.
Because they said it right here in the next one. We would need at least 9 bedrooms, a mansion. Really?
Yeah.
How would we make that work? That's true. It helps that both Robin and Mary like having their own space and prefer to have their own houses.
That's true. That's true. So yeah,
it was just the fact that they are both the ones
that have too many kids.
But again, I will say 100%.
Because together, the two of them have 11 kids, right?
When they moved into the cul-de-sac,
no, 12.
That was perfection.
Yeah.
That cul-de-sac was the answer and amazing to keep them together.
The only thing better than that would be the one house that Cody proposed, in my opinion. The only thing better than the biggest cul-de-sac. For
community living.
Right, but I'm saying I think the cul-de-sac was the best of all the worlds.
Right, it was the best of basically living together but not living together.
They could have separate, the kids could run from one backyard to the next. It was all open.
They could party in the cul-de-sac because no other cars should be in the cul-de-sac that didn't belong to them.
It was so good.
Yeah,
absolutely. I agree. I cannot believe that they literally
cut off all their own heads for that. Somebody wanted it, and they had to appease.
I know
the one.
The ice cream. All right. Anyway, I've moved on to the Robin chapter.
Robin chapter.
Let's knock it out.
And then she says, "I've never lived under the same roof with any of them, so I've been spared a lot of the conflicts and growing pains that my sister wives went through as they figured out how to raise their children together and integrate their lives with one another." But remember,
it shows.
She did not know that there had ever been any problems, ever.
Well, yeah, there's that. Was there something I didn't know? It shows. It shows that you didn't have to do any of that or learn that or be a part of that.
And as you read that, I just envisioned myself patting her on the head.
Yep.
Here's some more patting.
That's so cute.
That's like my husband when he goes to more patting. So pretty.
Since moving to Nevada, things have changed a lot for us and made us more of a team. We all had to contribute to the expenses to relocate the family, which is difficult for each of us. How did she contribute?
You should have had to contribute.
I helped out with all the kids and contributed my paycheck to the family to help pay the bills.
Here's how she did it. But now we have a television show. We are essentially working together as a family on a daily basis, and we are a team financially. You are a team financially because of the TV show. You honestly think, I think in this moment, and I think even maybe to this day, she believes that the reason that they have a TV show is because of her. Without a new woman coming in, there wouldn't have been a television show. So you all ladies should be thanking me because all of the TV show money is only here because of me and
that
Cody
is my getting contribution.
Married. I think that's how she feels.
Ooh.
And she has put herself up on the top of that ladder.
Well, she definitely thinks she's on a pedestal for sure.
I'm just saying. I think that in that moment, because let's be honest.
Because the show literally starts with them.
Correct. That is a hot button. Like, how is this going to happen? Bringing a new wife in after what was it? 17?
I think it was 16 years.
16, 17, and 20 years.
Yep.
That's how long you've been married to the other three women.
Yeah. Since the third one joined, it had been 16 years.
Right.
Yeah.
What will this look like? So anyway, I think that's what I was picking up. I was picking that up while they were putting it down here.
Yeah. You know, I see that.
So,
see that.
And then she says, we are all equal.
Uh-huh. You say that because you are actually not equal.
That's right. They are all equal. So they all have the same amount of letters in their last name.
They are all equal to each other, and I am above.
It says, the show obviously, and basically she's meaning in the show has made them all equal.
Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh.
But again.
Has it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, in addition to bringing a greater sense of financial equality between us, the show has been beneficial to allowing us to openly attend all of the children's school activities. I thought that was a weird caveat of...
I think
that is a positive though, being able to attend the children's school because they don't have to hide that
openly attend it. Yes.
Right, like they can like yeah. claim but
the,
them.
The financial yeah. equality, I am not buying it because I feel...
I still feel like Janelle has to do a lot of stuff.
She's still working. But
like
the TV money, I honestly feel like so much of that went into their LLC or foundation or whatever they had. And I think Cody managed that part. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's where they got their budgets. I think every wife had a monthly budget, and I think it all came out of that central.
So I don't. I'm not sure.
Fund. Yeah.
Yes, but I'm. I mean, maybe at the very beginning. But I think that teeter totter tipped towards the Robin Cody house.
Sure.
More and more, it was like. Nah.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about so
and
many
you've
things.
Got Mary, Janelle, and Christine. Frantically jumping bailing on the other end, and the fat cows on the other side just tipping it more and more as they they gobbled up all the.
You hear
the
well
goods.
Into the future that the profit from Janelle's Vegas house went to be the down payment
but again,
on
for
Robin's
house. As you see these other women,
and Janelle still doesn't have a house to this
furnishing
day,
their home, putting things in their home, and then you see this massive, crazy. I mean, I'm going to be honest here. Robin's house looks like my house right now. When I have got stuff everywhere. I am trying to rip stuff out of my office.
But
I've got
not
things
because
that I'm doing,
of
I'm
things
doing
you're buying.
Thing. I mean, well, I buy a lot of stuff.
It had to be bought to be brought in the
but
home.
But also a lot of things
but.
Get sent to you. Like, you just have stuff everywhere.
I am just saying, between that and my going out and purchasing things and my crafting addictions and my clothing, I have stuff everywhere. Yeah. But we're talking, they're buying things like, art, expensive art to put on the wall that nobody
matches.
Knows if it matches. Weird jewelry, and I mean even in the
and how
the
many villages
with the horse rings and
the
whatever.
Dickensian
and
village.
And then they sit and say, "Well, we don't have money to pay off the land." And you're looking there, going, "Stop buying QVC boxes."
All.
You see them stacked behind there. She is sleeping until 2 p.m., staying up until 4 a.m.
The late night on the QVC.
And then just stacking it there because there's nowhere to put it.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't either.
She is What's-Her-Face from Shark Tank's dream customer.
Yeah.
The QVC lady.
Lori.
Yes, Lori.
Hello. So she said, she did say though that because of this, you know, everybody being together and they're having these times and not everybody having to work a bunch of jobs, I guess, that, you know, with Cody and her had to be out of town one time at the same time. Dayton was in a school play and she knew how upset Dayton would be if nobody from the family was there. And when she asked the other moms, Christine and Mary absolutely said they would go and they were able to support so they can have that flexibility in there. But I want to know, at this point, where in the hell would Robin and Cody have to go together that you would miss something of Dayton's? Because number one, she moved the whole Brown family for Dayton. So where would they have been?
Is this when they went on their
honeymoon? Yeah, I think no, I don't think so. Because he was just graduating. My first brain goes to, both of them had a lot of siblings and a lot of family and whatever. What if it was a baby shower? What if it was a wedding somewhere else?
Cody
didn't say what it was. What? Yeah, I don't know. Because I would be surprised. Like, the only other thing I could think of is, Cody got taken away for work, something sales, or something with his gun resale company, and he had to go to a convention or something. But then I do not see Robin going.
Or like,
if Dayton had something going on.
Right,
It had to be something more important than that, like mom's having surgery or, you know, sister's having a baby and I need to watch her kids. Or, you know what I mean? To be something more important than that
but
to take them both away.
Yeah,
because Robin would have stayed home alone.
I just
she would
think
have
it's
been
very
fine
interesting.
With that. So it had to be something related to like Robin, friend, family, foe.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Nope, we don't.
This next page on 200 is where I finally wrote in the thing. So much repeating. Because now we're talking about eating again. And the food. And she said.
Not in the living
room?
In her
house.
Oh, no. Who has what kind of food?
The kids go to everybody's house looking for
snacks.
And she saves leftovers for such raids. She always has ice cream and popsicles in her freezer. Even because she doesn't want to waste her money on the ice cream truck. Even if there isn't ice cream, there's something worth foraging in her cabinets. Because her and her girls don't eat a lot. She struggles to have an appetite. And Brianna and her are both hypoglycemic, which means they always need to have emergency snacks on hand. So she buys all these emergency snacks. They don't necessarily eat them. The other kids come and raid them all. And she has to go buy more snacks.
Right.
So maybe part of her needing higher budget is she's feeding everybody snack food.
I mean, yeah. It's possible.
That could be it.
Yeah.
So she does say that the kids spend a lot of time together, which I find is so sad now because it doesn't sound like her kids now are able to have a relationship with the other kids.
Because of them.
Because of the wedge that the parents adults caused.
Yes.
And they're specifically and her.
Specifically yeah. her. Like in the... Because she which would we've not talked let them just have that. Episodes.
And she puts things into their head that... Right. They are bad influences well, I mean, and poisoning
their
minds.
We even talked about it in other episodes. The kids' Christmas gift exchange. Mm-hmm. Why was she even in the text group to even give an opinion?
Well, I know, why I mean? She was. She was there because there are children who are younger, all I'm sorry, who need to somehow be... Obviously, they want to be included.
But the
and
older kids
get,
could have done that.
Yes, right. They're adult children in this chat. It's not
exactly.
like...
No, I
and they wanted everyone to be involved. And then she just, like, kind of crapped on it. Whether it was because what she said was taken wrong or not, like, just get out of it. Like, be in your lane, lady.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. Saul and Ari don't have their own money anyway, so somebody would have to alert them.
Right, exactly. But you can alert them after it's over.
Hey, Robin, we pulled names for the gift exchange. Saul has Logan and Ari has Isabel.
If she felt she needed to jump into the conversation just to say, hey, just let me know if you do end up drawing who Saul and Ari have so I can make sure to get their appropriate gifts.
Right.
But she jumped in and said, can we do a Zoom call? Can I talk to you about this? Can I be, you know...
Right.
Can I be lead organizer? Can I?
Right. And then it became this thing of like that then her kids weren't being included and it like totally blew up and became ridiculous.
Yep. So then we're talking about parenting other people's children. Again, we go into that thing because we're talking about that. And I liked what Robin said here and I think this is true. While I'm usually comfortable with one of my sister wives helping to parent my children, when we're all together at another mom's house, I try to make sure I am the one who keeps my kid in line so another mom doesn't feel she has to take charge. And I do think I
like
saw
it.
That a lot.
Well, she's very helicoptery.
And
so she's not going to let there be space for someone else
correct.
To do it.
But I also think that, you know, this is something that we talk about with your boys. When you and I have your boys, if they are doing something in a store around other people at somebody else's house, we are correcting them. Nobody else has time to jump in unless I was in the restroom and didn't see it.
Right.
Because I am on it. You are on it. Tyler is on it. You know, everybody is doing these things.
Right.
And where the feral children that you know of other people's are not. They're like, they did what?
So then I have to be like, no, we don't do that in my house. And if you're going to do that, you are not invited back. And then I get little five-year-old giant eyes at me like, no one's ever said words like this to me before.
But you know what? Like, I was a parenter of other people's children. Because if you're going to bring people to my house and not parent them, they will be parented.
No, yeah, if they're at my house, my event, and they're not acting in an appropriate
the parent of
way.
Kid who ended up getting one kid pushed into the pool at a Christmas party.
Yep, Christmas party in the pool.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like, and so yeah, if people are at my house, I will say a thing. And sometimes, And sometimes...
Sometimes
it might not come out quite right.
I'm going to make you a shirt that says, don't make me say a thing.
Yeah, so then sometimes I'll tell Tyler, you need to talk to your niece or nephew, or you need to talk to your brother or sister, whoever, before Aunt Allie is the bad guy, because I'm not going to be nice about it, right? Because, like, sometimes I'm just like, I've had enough. And this is not how we behave in my house. And I don't really give a rat's behind if this is how you behave at your house. We don't behave this way
at my house. I say that all the time. I was like, please don't make me be the bad guy.
I'm like,
I have to be the bad guy.
Yeah. And I'm like, and then when I'm at your house, guess what? If your kids are doing that, that's great. My kids will still not be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Like at my brother-in-law's house and his wife, their kids, their furniture jumper, talk about couch jumping. They're allowed to jump on the couch, whatever. My kids... Literally, their kids will be doing it, and I will tell my kids, we do not jump on the couch. Well, why do they get to? Because I am not in charge of them, and I don't care where we are. We do not do that. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry that they're not your mom and dad, but we're not going to do that. I don't care whose house you're at, and if they say it's okay,
but
you don't
get
to do that.
You have different parents and different grandparents, and guess what? You got to go on a Disney cruise.
No, I know.
You get to go to Disney. They get to jump on couches. Which would you rather do?
Right. Because they're not doing...
I'm just saying.
They're not doing the fun things because they don't know how can't to be leave. Taken out. They don't know how to leave their house because when they have
children. You can't take feral children on.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. And their feral children aren't even as feral as the other feral children.
Yeah, that's true.
The real feral. The only semi-feral.
So, anyways. Open-minded communication. Going down, because now we've squirreled again. I have a tendency, this is another one about where a kid is with a different mom or connects with a different mom, because she says, McKelty, Christine's second oldest daughter, is a very unique girl. I have a tendency to stand up for her and see the best in her. She does, she's going to do something great someday with her out of the box thinking. So that's where we see that connection with them starting to grow, which we see through to the present.
Yeah, I mean, she even I don't still know. In
I,
like
I feel like there's rumors out there. Mom, maybe they're not as close now, but I mean
even after yeah. Christine left Cody, yes. McKelty still came and brought her kids to
and
visit
Christine
Cody
held none
and
of that against her.
Cody and she, Robin. No, she said I'm glad that they have that relationship and mm-hmm. I hope that it continues because it was always special. And she had Robin like Zoom call in when she was having her home birth because she wanted her to be a part of it. Like
I do think it was very interesting on the next page when she says, respect is earned, not demanded. My parental relationships are getting better and better with time, but it's still a work in progress, because she's talking about the older children.
Respect and is she not is, demanded. She is, oh, I think she demands earning, respect all the time.
Well,
and she tells Cody to demand it for her.
On her behalf.
That's true.
And then she pretends that she isn't asking for it.
Right. Right, but Cody's definitely demanding it on her behalf. Right. Like, demanding an apology and demanding a conversation and demanding that. I never asked for that. I never wanted that.
You did. It's on camera. I saw it. Liar, McLiar. Did you ever see the movie The Ref?
No.
Cody reminds me of the guy in The Ref, or the mother of the main guy. What happens is, here it is. Okay, so The Ref is about these people that break into this house and they like kidnap the inhabitants of the house. Well, the inhabitants of the house are this feuding married couple. So it ends up going horribly for this person who's trying to do it. But eventually the mom comes over because she's not getting any answers from her son, and she's demanding these things. So when he comes in, then they have her kidnapped. Too now and now yeah. We've got this dynamic going on, and they start fighting the son and whatever, and finally he says something. It's with Dennis Leary, and he says, you know what I'm going to get you for Christmas, mother? A cross. So every time you feel unappreciated for all of your sacrifices, you can crawl up it and nail yourself to it. And it makes me think of him, you know, that's what somebody needs to say to him.
Right.
Because he's so unappreciated and so taking advantage of all of these things.
Or the opposite way.
He's such a martyr.
Calm down off your cross, Cody. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
So, I just, but the movie, I'm going to put a caveat in case anybody's going off to find this Dennis Leary movie. Dennis Leary, if you don't know about him and his comedy,
very
about every 10th word is probably the F. But that movie was Kevin Spacey, which is, he's also in very, very hot water with his behaviors. But the movie itself was fantastic. So.
Well, I like at the top of the next page, my children are so blessed to have all these mommies and the best daddy ever. Mm-hmm.
Here's another person.
The best daddy ever. So. I don't know if I skipped over anything else.
Did we talk about Robin calling the little girls the pixies?
What? No, we kind of. I did have some of that highlighted. Well, it wasn't Robin; it was Cody.
Yeah, or Cody.
Yes,
yeah.
We did. We
these kids
over.
Will never lack in love and support. And recently, one of the other pixies needed a chapter book, and my daughter Aurora has several. I asked her to share with her sister. Aurora struggled at first with lending out the book, so I had to point out that we are family and we share and help each other out.
That's right.
She made it sound like her kids were just
maybe
so
she
excited
didn't
want
to share the book because it was a chapter book you need to be gentle with, and sometimes younger kids aren't careful with your stuff.
Facts on your snacks.
Not because she wants to be rude, but maybe she cares about her stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. And little kids don't. Well, they're a team. It's a challenge, but they are getting there.
I think when we get to the next section, we're gonna
celebrity.
The prize winner should have their box, because I did get a notification while we've been podcasting from Amazon that the thing that needs to go in there has delivered, has arrived. Your package has arrived.
Oh, God, you're so weird.
Well, should we see if maybe we can finish the book the next time we do book club? Because we're going to have some TV episodes next.
Yeah, I think that's...
But then I think we should be able to do that. There is a celebrity part too, of it. But if we need to break it up, we can we can do that at that point in time.
I think that's fine.
Until then, Foo, take us out.
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to remember.
It's been so long since we've podcasted.
I can't even figure it out on a good day.
This is the podcast
where chaos is always multiplied and never divided.
Yeah, okay, you got
that's
it.
Pretty close. That's pretty good. Yeah, all right.
Good enough.
Woo, woo. I think I wrote it down. I need to get that.
You're going to write it in the front of your book. People are going to be like, what is this?
What
like,
is this?
When someone finds this in Goodwill in 10 years, they're like, what does this mean? And all this highlighting. Man, people were really obsessed about
people
this.
People were really into this sister wife.
If we ever do get rid of these books, we need to get rid of all of them at one time so they all sit at the same Goodwill together.
That's funny.
So somebody's like,
funny.
Wow, they have 3 copies of this book and they're all graffitied up.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that we'd ever need to revisit this. Maybe we'll... Hey, maybe after this, we all three will sign each one of them. Like, all three of us will sign all three of them. And we'll be like, enjoy the book. And we'll send them out. And each of you, we could give them
You know what? That wouldn't be
We'll give them as a giveaway. And one
idea.
Of you will eat... One of you would get to see what I've highlighted, what Jill's highlighted, and what Alex's book is pristine. I don't think she's highlighted, have you?
I highlighted some in the beginning, and then...
And then she
like,
it,
I kinda,
got away
I
from
I kind of highlighted. But, like, I mean... Before we gave them away, they're like, this highlighted here. Before we gave it away, I could go back and read it again and highlight stuff.
So, anyway,
but
that
be
might
fun
be kind
about
of
that,
fun.
Though, is if we put a little note in the front and then we say the only caveat is when you're done with it, you have to pass it on to somebody else who's interested or curious
you
about
You also
it.
Have
and
to
then
sign
you,
it.
Yeah,
you pass
sign
it. On.
That's right. So, kind of like the traveling
pants.
Let us know. Like,
Let us know. Or you definitely, if we have more than, let's say, 3 people reach out to us, we could have a list so then we could send it with the book and say, this is the next person you send it to and give the
address.
You
know what? Maybe what we should do, maybe what we should start doing a, we should have a podcast page on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then we could upload snippets. We could take like some video and then upload little bits of it on there.
Like
and let people
like
come
Jason
over.
And Travis Kelce with their New Heights podcast because they do that and I
oh,
love
sure.
it.
Okay. I'm just saying it. Maybe we
because
should do that.
Because
so
they have their podcast on YouTube
on
where they like video each other doing the entire podcast episode. But like they have a podcast page and they do like 60-second videos all the time about like snippets from their episodes.
Yeah, I think it might be fun.
I'm just saying we could be like the Kelce brothers and I love them.
Excellent.
Nice.
But we're a trio of chaos.
It's okay.
We're the drama trio.
That's good.
That's right.
All right. Well, we already did the out thing, so see you next time. Bye,
next
guys.
Next time, friends. Bye.
If your life is so chaotic you don't remember, you've been listening to the It's All Chaos podcast.
To support Tracy, Jill, or get access to any products we've discussed on the podcast, visit our websites at officiallytracytime.com.
ShopJillyBean.com
or ShopTheChaos.com. If you've enjoyed learning about our chaos, you can always leave a positive review on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you download your podcasts.
And if you would like to tell us about your chaos, you can always email us at itsallchaospodcast@gmail.com and maybe we'll read your email on the show.
And remember, when life gets chaotic, it's okay to listen to the podcast in your closet with a Starbucks eating raw cookie dough. James, stop squeezing the dog.
Jasmine!
Oh, Max, don't bite your brother.
Oh, socks. Socks everywhere, socks.
Can somebody please put these dishes in the dishwasher?
Fork, quit chewing on poo.
Poo's dirty underwear are on the floor.
Oh my gosh, there are dishes in the sink again. I'm sorry, we gotta go.